Lord and Savior, dear friend. Concordia Seminary in St. Louis is a good place to be, with many friendly, thoughtful people, with beautiful surroundings, outstanding physical facilities, varied curriculum, and the intellectual stimulus. What else can we expect from an academic community? I would like to take up this morning a point which some of you may feel superfluous to mention in this community: fellowship. Fellowship, sometimes called in other languages, often used in this context, koinonia, communio, gemeinschaft, is an indispensable component in life for any serious human being with a desire of having a meaningful life. In its root, fellowship has the meaning of sharing, participating, and joining together with common cause. It is one of the distinct natures in man bestowed by the Creator to seek to have fellowship, or perhaps better called togetherness. For no one can live alone, nor is it good for any person, a person to be alone. The partnership began, the sense of belongingness grew, and the custom of identity emerged in men. At times it is good to be alone for a while, for privacy, but it is better to be with others who share our faith, our values, our aspirations, and above all, our beliefs. Modern man's search for fellowship is clearly evident. On the way of the searching fellowship, sometimes people are victimized. We read such perplexing stories as that of Reverend Jim Jones in Guyana, and hear about the strange religious sects from the East which are flourishing in the Western countries. Why? People are hungry for fellowship, mental, spiritual, and the psychological belongingness and the togetherness. To someone and to somewhere, human beings must belong. An academic community like our seminary, where knowledge plays such an important role, may be a cold place. For knowledge is fact, can be inflexible and impersonal. The person who knows many may easily gather much self-gratification and collect envy and popularity among the peers. But then, in such surroundings, one can easily be self-centered and puffed up. Academic community can be therefore a lonely community. Often human warmth is absent, knowledge may at times overrule human integrity. Furthermore, the devil works harder in an intellectual community with a base of pride, which was the first sin of the angels and our forefathers. Devil's cunning intelligence and stupidity of promoting pride in man may easily penetrate into the scholastic community and cast out the warmth of fellowship and mutual concern. Do we have fellowship in our community? Or do I, or do you, play a part in promoting fellowship in our community? One may know about all the fine points of fellowship, from its accurate definition to implication, but knowing is not senior theological students and teachers are, you know, pilgriming to a true fellowship. Now, what kind of fellowship do we think of? The text for this morning meditation, John, 1 John chapter 1, is thinking of the answer. The right answer. It refers to the fellowship of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is the point of departure for our fellowship. In fact, all types of fellowship, without exception, demand a common point of contact. When two or three parties come together in forming togetherness, they have a point of focus, a point of meeting together with mutual interest and mutual concern. Jesus Christ, our Savior, has established this fellowship on the cross and in his resurrection. This fellowship is the basis of the apostles' teaching and the apostolic way of life. They are the message when the message is translated into the life of Christian man and woman. Fellowship among Christians involves in the fellowship with God in Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, no one can be in fellowship with God. Those who have fellowship in the teachings of the apostles, which is centered in Jesus Christ, have the fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another, for we have a fellowship with one God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. True Christian fellowship is seen and practiced in many different ways. For example, first, through the Holy Sacrament of baptism and the Lord's Supper, where we are sharing and participating in the redemptive act of the Savior. Secondly, through the proclamation, by witnessing together the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, through the prayers, by expressing our common wishes and praises to the Lord. Fourth and lastly, through our Christian concern as brothers' people, by mutual encouragement and admonition. By the grace of God, we who are in this community of Christian men and women have a mutual task of translating this precious Christian fellowship into action and practice it in our daily life. Only when this is done, the contrast can be truly beautiful and envious. This excellent community of Christians and theologians may do many great things by sharing vigorously the good news of salvation and the sound theology with others, and by showing a new style of Christian life as initiated in the life of our Savior Himself. We owe the world of sharing the gospel and the theology. We learn and study here so that we may have a true fellowship among us in the triune God. We do and say all this in this great center of learning for the Holy Ministry so that our life may be saved and our joy in life may be complete. In a short time, many of you will be leaving this community. Someday, you will look back and say, with pride and joyful reminiscences, I was there at Concordia Seminary in Cambridge, lived there, and studied there. What would make that memory joyful and gratifying is not so much to do with the size of the corpus of knowledge and facts gained here as the Christian fellowship